Why don't we try my wine?
Well, I've never been interested in domestic wine.
This isn't exactly domestic.
Well, you like it, don't you?
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, it's not really bad.
Tom, did you spend more than 50 cents for this?
50 cents for... You mean you don't like this wine?
Say, I got a good mind to return it and make them give you your money back.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. The Wine Crush is presented by Lot18.com. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Well, to the wine cellar.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay guzzling diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory, all the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about that cute little grape but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource for everything associated with the vine. And I know everyone's going to start out a little disappointed on today's show, and I do owe you an apology. Today was going to be the day we got Kent on this side of the glass and plied him with a whole bunch of alcohol and took advantage of him.
You know what I call this? Divine intervention.
Divine intervention.
That's what it's got to be.
Yeah, more like federal law.
Uh-huh.
So we are slowly working through legalities on a couple things, but you can rest assured you will hear that show some point in the future. It is our public service announcement to make sure that people understand that as much fun as wine is, as much enjoyment as we all get out of it, that it's not this pansy little drink that you have a little three glasses of and everything is fine.
Now, are we allowed to tell people why we ran into legal trouble? We don't want to go into that.
Yeah, no, we got
it's
big.
It's too deep.
Yes.
Okay.
It's not anything awful. It's just too many people paying attention to too many different things.
Uh-huh.
When you are a national show in a local city in a different county, all of a sudden some people want to put their 2 cents worth
in. It was geography.
And it was strictly geography.
Okay.
Imagine that. But it really is, the whole point is to be a public service announcement, because trust me, I've got big guy friends that look at me and say, oh, look at little Laura drinking her cute little Chardonnay. Laura, can I get you a scotch? Can I get you a real person's drink? Mm. And what they don't realize is they're sitting around sipping their beers after golf. Their little beers are 3.2. My Chardonnay's generally running about 14.8, 15.2. And I'm going glass for glass. So that's the whole point, is to make people cognizant of the fact that as cute as you think wine is, it can pack a punch and it can affect on how you behave and, of course, how it influences your day in and day out. So we will get to the show, if nothing else, for entertainment value, just to have Kent on this side of the glass where we can throw things at him, we can have our hands around his throat, and he doesn't have this 6-inch layer of protection around him.
I'm kind of glad this didn't work out, actually. I think I need to study for this exam.
Study for this exam? You need to start practicing drinking for a change?
No, I mean, it was just, I don't know. I don't know how things are on that side of the glass. I kind of prefer it over here sometimes.
Yes, I imagine you do.
It's bulletproof. I never have to worry. It's just
easy. The French can't get through with their baguettes,
right?
Beat you.
Right.
Yes.
We had a guy in here with a saber once. I don't want to get into that. So.
Yes, we've had lethal weapons, but that's neither here nor there. But the good news is that means we can take a moment and celebrate what is upcoming this weekend. Of course, for those of you who have the same planning abilities as a
love your
say,
little
some
song
of my
on
friends,
your phone.
Absolutely. I have some of the same planning abilities as my friends. Yes, this weekend is Mother's Day. Here's your friendly reminder. By the time you're hearing the show, chances are you're in the doghouse. Sunday is Mother's Day. That involves flowers. That involves jewelry. It involves engraved things. It generally involves brunch. I really don't understand that, though, Kent. Why is Mother's Day always accompanied by brunch?
It's the roughest tradition part of it. I mean, you know, we all have to climb mountains. Christmas, you got to buy the gifts and do it before Christmas Eve. Mother's Day, you got to take mom to brunch.
But why is it brunch? Why is it not lunch? Why is it not dinner? The woman's been cooking for everybody for years and years and years. Somebody go take her to a steakhouse.
I think that's why. I think that's it. You just nailed it. That's why.
But
because mom's been cooking lunch for everybody for years and years. Today, brunch for mom.
Yeah, but no. She's gone through all this effort and all this trouble. Somebody splurged for a steak for the woman.
Well, yeah, you can do that.
Take her out to a nice dinner. I don't get it. Anyway, since it is Mother's Day coming up, I thought I would touch on two wines that I think are appropriate for brunch. Brunch everywhere. We always have this argument. There's nothing that goes with eggs. I don't care what your master sommelier says. I don't care what master of wine says. I don't care how many different sauces you put on it. I don't care how much you put in your omelet. There is no wine that pairs well with eggs. So when you're looking at brunch and planning this, make sure they have other things, shrimp, prime rib, pasta salads, hams, carving stations, turkeys, that kind of thing.
Before. You don't even get a break when you're serving eggs with ham?
No. Wine,
it's ham and eggs,
well,
and it's the
care.
Ham part that you're going to.
Well, then drink your pina with the ham, and then wait and take water with your eggs. I don't care.
Okay,
it just does not work. Anyway, thank you for getting me off track. There are two wines I like to recommend for any kind of brunch setting, and both of them are relatively inexpensive. And so there is one red, one white, kind of, however you want to look at it. But, of course, Mother's Day is a time of celebration. It's a time for relaxing. Plus, there are just certain wines that fall in that 10 to 2 range, and we're going to recommend both of them today. The first is a Prosecco. And I know a lot of people have asked questions lately about Prosecco. What is it? Where can I get it? Well, people got really, really excited about Prosecco because, number one, of course, it's the name of the grape, Prosecco. But a lot of people always thought this was champagne. And they thought they were getting their hands on very cheap champagne. But bottom line is, it's an Italian sparkling. It is made of the Prosecco grape. It can be DOC, DOCG. But it is amazing what this wine does. It is light. It is airy. It doesn't have as much yeast factor as, say, some of the bigger, heavier champagnes do. It tends to be anywhere from truly sparkling to frizzante. It is just crisp, clean, very refreshing, good morning drink, great with orange juice for those of you who like to bastardize your wines and put something besides grapes in them. It will go well with orange juice. It will go great with floaters, however you want to put it together. But there is one called Poema. And Poema is recently brought into the country. That's P-O-E-M-A for those of you who can't understand my accent. You can find this in most of your fine wine specialty shops. Usually gets great press, usually gets great backing. And because you can't find it in every single grocery store shelf, it has a little bit of mystique to it. So it's a great thing for Mother's Day. It's a great day for brunch. So Poema Prosecco is the first wine I'm going to recommend for this week. The other is one I have talked about on the show before. And every time I talk about it, I get great response from people because it's not something people usually go out and buy. Bonfit Rosa Regali, R-O-S-A. Separate word, R-E-G-A-L-E, Bonfit Rosa Regali. There we go. If I don't write things out, you know I can't spell, I can't add, I can't do math, none of that. But this is a very interesting sparkling wine. It is one of those that I talk about occasionally with Valentine's Day, but definitely since we're talking about having brunches where there's a lot of diverse things on the banquets, when you tend to have a lot of different desserts on the banquets, Bonfit Rosa Regali is made of the Brachetto grape, and once again, this is another Italian sparkling. What's great is this is the prettiest color. It is truly a rose color. I'm not talking rosé. I'm talking about the color of red roses. So it really stands out in the glass, and once you taste it, it is frizzante. It does have some sparkle to it, but it just has this silky sweetness to it. And one of my favorite things to do with this wine is to take it out with some chocolate, whether it's a Hershey bar, whether it's Godiva, whether it's a chocolate tort. These wines were made to be consumed with sweet things along those lines. It's also really good with raspberries and strawberries. But it really does make an impression as we think ahead once again to Mother's Day and Sunday brunch. If you're having Mother over, if you're taking her out, it just, you look at it and you have to be festive. It's one of those things you see it in the glass and say, oh, well, I've got to try this regardless. What's great also is it tends to be lower in alcohol, so it's not totally going to rip Aunt Sally, and it provides a great balance and a great opening stroke to anything you're going to do. So, in essence, because it's the rose color, I'll get that for my red today. But there's your wines, Poema Prosecco and Bonfit Rosa Regali. Both of them you can find at wine shops, and we'll definitely add some festivity to the upcoming Sunday.
Would I notice the difference between a regular red wine and this rose-colored wine? I mean, that much difference?
There's that much difference. Number one, this one is sparkling. It does have bubbles in it. It is fizzy, mm-hmm. as you would call it. Yes, it's fizzy.
Fizzy.
Okay. Plus, it is sweeter. And so if I gave you a glass of Merlot versus a glass of Rosa Regali,
right.
I know which one you'd drink. You wouldn't even look at the Merlot again. You'd grab the Rosa Regali and just enjoy it. I saw a neat presentation with this once. Someone took a little raspberry and put a little cut in it and put it on the side of the champagne glass. And once again, very festive. So I can see this is something you would enjoy. I'll have to bring a bottle.
Maybe, I would love to see
that. Maybe
love to
that's
see this.
What we can use when we do get you on this side of
the glass.
Now
you get me all burpy. I don't want to be burpy.
are you, Fred Sanford? Cucumbers make me burp. Where is this coming from? That's what we need to be sharing with everybody. So there are your wine recommendations for better or for worse this week. But it's always interesting to sit back and look at how people perceive wine in the news. There were two articles this week, and we'll kind of touch on them here and there. But everyone has been making this big deal out of the Wiseman study. We cited it recently on a show, Cheap versus Expensive Wine, how basically this gentleman, Richard Wiseman, said that you can't tell the difference between expensive wine and between inexpensive wine, that everybody just doesn't know the difference and we're making too much out of it. So here's a question for our listeners. Can you tell the difference? And if you can, what difference does it really make? I've had friends that have been very, very offended by all the debate going back and forth, saying that even true wine aficionados can't tell the difference between cheap and expensive wine when done in a blind tasting. And does it bother you? I personally, if I taste a wine and I think it's expensive and I find out it's not, I don't care. It makes me very, very happy. It means that I have found something that I like to drink that's not going to cost me much money. But apparently everybody is all up in arms about the fact that basically they've been duped. That they actually know their wines very, very well, and how dare you insult them by saying that they don't have a palate that can discern between expensive or cheap wines.
Did we do that show one time? Didn't we do a show where we kind of did that for a little bit?
We did, and that was
What did we find out then? I forgot.
Basically, you like what you like. You drink what you want to. You know, if you thought a wine was expensive and you liked it, that's really all that mattered. But it still astounds me, and this goes back to the root of the problem with the wine business and all the trappings associated with wine, that you have a whole group of people out there right now that is just undone to the nth T over the fact that they've been accused of not knowing the difference between cheap and expensive wine. With everything that's out there, with all the second labels that's out there, with all the, even if you just look at California and the juice that's sold off here and there, it's almost impossible even for an expert to tell the difference between a cheap wine and an expensive wine. So I just find it ridiculous. This is part of the problem. Once again, I think if you get caught with your pants down and you say that this wine tastes expensive and it's cheap, I don't know about you. I'm going to go do backflips because it means that I have found something I can afford. Kent?
Me too.
No, you really don't care, do you?
No, I really do, and I want to do that show again. I want to get people with discerning palates in here, and then I want to get regular wine drinkers in here, and we need to do that show again.
You're just focused on having people come in here and drink, so you don't have to be part of it. You're trying to distract everybody. All right, speaking of distracting, he's distracted me beyond the break. We're going to take a quick moment right here, but when we return, your calls and your emails are all this crush is about.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at ZMAX.com.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Ugh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing, you're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today is all about you. It's all about your calls and emails. So I encourage you, 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email me directly, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Well, today there's a lot going on around in the studio, so I have a whole lot of little ears that are running around and paying attention to what we are kind of discussing and listening to Kent. So two comments that were made during the break was, one, we had someone come in and say, "Well, I can always tell the difference between expensive and inexpensive wine." And, of course, my personal opinion is the person who was talking is so cheap to begin with, I don't know if they've ever tasted an expensive wine. But they brought up an interesting point. What was the definition of an expensive wine? I mean, Kent, what is your definition of an expensive wine?
I think that would vary from person to person.
But what is yours?
What's expensive to me would be, you know, anything over $20.
No, and that's
seriously.
That's perfectly reasonable. Whereas something, even as much as I consume wine, to me, expensive, especially drinking Chardonnays like I do, anything over $60 makes me nervous on the way I drink it. So my definition of expensive wine is going to be $75. Yours is going to be $20.
And I've had too many good bottles of wine that were $15 and right around that range.
Exactly. And the gentleman that was talking to us, his definition of expensive wine is any glass over $6.
Yeah.
So that right there would probably skew any kind of results that Mr. Wiseman got. So there's your founding principle on everything. Can you determine if something is cheap or if it's expensive? But without having a definition of what expensive is.
So in this economy, the line moves.
It does move.
Yeah.
Think about where that line was 18 months ago.
Yeah.
I know that for me personally, that line was 30. I wouldn't pay anything over $35 about 18 months ago. There was just too much out there. There was too much value oriented. There were too much interesting things. Now, of course, I'm being vintage sensitive and trying the next vintages and want to try the more expensive wines. But that's just me. I have to do it. See, it's in the name of research.
Oh, that's right.
I have to make sure that everybody
always
has a handle on
things.
Always research
with you. You're such a scientist.
I am. I work hard for everybody. I want to make sure everyone gets a fair shake. Speaking of fair shakes, though, that was another comment that was made for a break, and we'll probably touch on this in the next segment. But talking about sweet wines, they heard me mention the fact that Rosa Regale tends to be sweet, and Kent had asked about having a red wine next to the Rosa Regale and what difference would there be. And he made another very, very valid point. What's wrong with sweet wines? When do we get to a point where we were condemning sweet wines? And once again, it goes back to the trappings that are associated with fine wine. Up until 15 years ago, if you think about the wines that were consumed in this country, Lancers, Blue Nun, Matisse, Rieslings, those were the ones that were really, really knocked down. And then all of a sudden, it became uncool to drink those wines, that you had to spend more money, you had to try varietally correct Chardonnays, Cabernets, Merlots. Then the white Zinfandel craze hit, mid-80s, and then all of a sudden it was okay to drink sweet wine because you were drinking white Zinfandel. But now, you go to a restaurant today, and if you order a glass of white Zinfandel while sitting in a steakhouse, I would bet 7 out of 10 times they don't have the wine. They'll try and sell you a Riesling, they'll try and sell you a Gewürztraminer, they'll try and back yourself away from it with the white Zinfandel. But now, we had the Moscato craze, and people are buying Moscato right and left out of grocery stores. So what we're seeing is a persevering pattern, whether it was Lancers, whether it was Rieslings, whether it was white Zinfandel, whether it's Moscato. The masses and general public has spoken. People like sweet wines, and it's time for all of us to quit condemning people who want to go to a restaurant and make spritzers or have cosmopolitans or have sugar added to their wine. If they are drinking wine and they're enjoying it, then who are we to dictate what they're doing is wrong? And I have to admit, I do sometimes get a little snobby about that. But all you have to look at Riesling, Moscato, and the IRI, the ring data, on what's selling in grocery stores and mega marts, and it proves that California needs to get on this bandwagon. In fact, all of us in the wine business need to get on this bandwagon. People drink Coca-Colas. They drink Pepsis. They drink sweet drinks. When you're in the South, the house wine is sweet tea. We're all drinking Yoo-hoos, eating chocolate, you're drinking energy drinks that have a lot of sugar in them. If day in and day out what we're doing is a lot of sugar-based stuff, then shouldn't it be evident to the wine community that sweet wines would be a hit? I don't know. It's just me. There's my observation. Now, shockingly, I have promised to take your phone calls and emails, but since I got off on a tangent, I'll have to wait to the next segment because we have to take a break right here on The Crush.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Live from Progressive.
Flo here. With more discounts than ever before, Progressive can save you a lot of money on your car insurance.
Savings!
Oh, you can get bigger savings than that.
Savings!
That's close, but you can really save a lot of money.
You're gonna get some savings. Savings!
Much
savings.
Better!
Discounts for safe driving, owning a home, and more. Now that's Progressive. Call or click today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes, between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and Earthshare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
This is the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Kent, you're kind of rocking out in the booth today. What's up with this?
That's Joe Cocker. I like Joe Cocker.
Well, as long as you're happy.
Very happy.
You have dug some new stuff up. I'm kind of concerned about where it came from or what commentary you're making, but other than that, I'm happy. All right, as always, I do promise this show is about you, 877-4-CRUSH-1. And I do actually want to hear about what we were discussing before the break. I want to hear your thoughts. Have we been too strident? Have we been too harsh on sweet wines? Is it time that California and the rest of the world stepped up and acknowledged the fact that everything else we drink has sugar in it? Apparently, we would like our wine to as well. Something else to think about. Of course, some of the greatest wines in the world are sweet, whether it's Yakim or Dolce or some of these great Sauternes. Anyway, 877-4-CRUSH-1. Let me know what you're thinking. And, of course, email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. Now, some of you apparently have been saving up, and we do have some calls on the wine line at present. So, Kent, if you can get these kind people queued up, what are we doing? Emily,
we good questions, too. Good questions this week.
Oh, anytime you say that, that usually means it's going to stump me or I'm going to laugh.
Oh. One of them I can't understand, but maybe you can.
All right, let's roll them.
Let's go to Emily in Virginia.
I was wondering what exactly malolactic is and what wines go through that process.
That's the one I couldn't understand.
Well, okay.
There goes your phone again.
I am terribly sorry. I thought I put it on silent, but now I apparently have muted at the point where I can't undo it. The question from Emily is, what exactly is malolactic and what kind of wines go through it? So for those of you who are in the know, let me just take a step back for those that aren't. Malolactic fermentation. I don't want to say it's a secondary fermentation, but what happens, it's when bacteria is added to the wine. Generally, I'm going to use Chardonnay for this because it's the one that's most commonly used, but yes, red wines go through it. Many wines go through this. And what happens is a certain bacteria is added to wine after it has finished going through its initial 10-day period of fermenting. And the bacteria changes a certain acid into lactic acid. Now, lactic acid, if I say that totally unrelated to wine, Kent, what do you find a lot of lactic acid in?
I know this one. Hold on. No, I don't. I've heard this before. You've talked about this before.
Happy cows.
Happy cows?
Think happy cows. Okay, lactic acid is found in milk, cheeses, dairy.
Okay, yes.
Think about this. You got to think outside the wine world. So the bacteria...
Lactose.
Lactose, there you go.
Okay.
So lactic acid. There we go. Kent's on page now. He's paying attention. I don't know if that's an asset or not.
Oh, you confuse me.
I apologize. So bacteria is added to change malolactic acid into lactic acid. And in doing so, we all know lactic acid is a component in milk and cheeses and all the dairy products. Think about the creaminess that's generally associated with this. Think about the fact that, you know, the heavy cream, butters, milks. And that's exactly what you're really getting when you find a Chardonnay that's undergone malolactic fermentation, especially when you hear comments or read descriptors that it says buttery, caramely, creamy. Those wines you can pretty much pick out on the back of the label have been through malolactic acid, or I'm sorry, malolactic fermentation. So that is what malolactic fermentation is, brought down to layman's terms. Yes, bacteria do the work, but it's definitely worth the resulting product, at least in my opinion. Now, this is also where, when you start talking about malolactic acid, that people start about assuming that Chardonnays are over-manipulated. This is a winemaker's decision. A winemaker can decide to not do malolactic, to not age surly, to not age in barrel. And that's where the dividing front has been. When you've heard the last few shows and we've had winemakers talk about their Chardonnays and their styles, this is where you certainly find a lot of personality. Now, Chardonnays are the best example of finding malolactic fermentation, but any and every wine can go through it. A lot of Cabernets. In fact, a lot of Cabernets, a lot of Merlots, Chianti, all kind of red wines go through this too. And one of the reasons they put red wine through it is we talk about this time and time again about tannic structure and how sometimes you get red wines that are so tannic and so tight that you feel like you need a chair and a whip to tame them once they're in the glass. Malolactic fermentation helps round things out and make them a little bit softer and a little bit more approachable. So that is what malolactic is. You generally can find it by reading the descriptions, but pretty much know that I would assume 60% of all wines in the world go through some kind of malolactic fermentation. Kent, do you feel better now?
I feel educated. You mentioned creamy wines.
Yes.
What's a good creamy wine?
What's a good creamy wine?
Creamy wine.
What's that? Cambria Chardonnay, to me, is extraordinarily creamy and luscious. Kendall Jackson Chardonnay is very, very creamy. What else have I had
recently?
Would
I know that a wine is creamy just to look at it?
No, not to look at it.
Just the way it goes down.
Although I will say this, this has been an argument that a lot of us winos have had. Wine that goes through malolactic fermentation tends to be a little bit darker than wines that don't. They tend to have a little more golden color. They tend to have a little more, they don't have as much brilliance as, say, a wine that has not gone through malolactic fermentation. A wine that's been in stainless steel, a wine that necessarily hadn't have oak. Because generally what happens, if you're going to go through malolactic fermentation, you're going to be aged in oak. So you tend to have a more golden hue to it. So we have all been arguing for years over the fact that whether malolactic fermentation actually can definitively change the color so most normal people can perceive it. I say yes, absolutely, 100%.
All right.
So does that help?
What you learn on this show.
You've learned a lot over the years, and I am impressed, without
that
a doubt.
Amazing.
All right. Do we have any more victims on the wine line?
We do. We have Sarah in Florida who wants to talk to you.
Hello. My name is Sarah, and I was calling with a question for the wine crush. My question is, if I'm having a cocktail party or just a small get-together with people at my house, what is the best valued wine, red and white and or white, as far as value over taste?
As far as value over taste?
Well, Sarah, I'm not really sure what you're asking for. My guess is you're trying to figure out how cheap you can go.
It sounds to me like that's what Sarah's about.
Okay, is that what we're going to take from this?
I think so.
Sarah, there are a lot of great wines out there that fall in the value category. There is no doubt about it. And the question is whether or not you're trying to get by a perception, you're trying to get by a bottle names. It's kind of like one of my dad's friends. He had a Dewar's bottle of scotch he kept back up on the back bar. Of course, he would fill it up with Old Crow whenever he had a chance. You know, perception is everything. But if you're doing a cocktail party and doing a get-together at your house, number one, I'm going to assume these are friends. Number two, it is always nice to try something new and different. But if you're really being value conscious, there are some great box wines out there right now. It depends on how inexpensive you want to get. And of course, with cocktail parties, you can have some fun with this. There's a wine out there called Bota Box, B-O-T-A Box, and really, really solid wines for what's in the package. You know, because people, we have talked about that, we have discussed this on the show before. Box wines are not what they used to be. They are not stuck back in the kitchen. They're not used for cooking wine. It's not simply spouts where you have Chablis on them anymore. Black Box, Bota Box, both make very quality products. And what's cool about this, if you really want to do it, if you're doing a cocktail party, you can go to your local dollar store and get crafts. Or even, since we were talking about lactic acid, you can go to your dollar store and get those old-fashioned milk jars. And just keep the box in your refrigerator.
Really?
Fill them up and just set them out for your guest. Have big old ice bins. You know, most of us, I have a galvanized tub I use at my house for beer and use it for wine. And that way you can actually have your little beers around it and put the little carafes in it. And it makes for a great presentation. Not to mention, the box wines are good. If you're looking to actually have wines on the table and have the bottles there, there are a lot of great value brands that come to mind. The lower tier of BV, the lower tier of Mondavi. There's a wine called Sycamore Lane out there that's outstanding. I talked a few weeks ago about Backhouse. You can find those at some of your retailers. All of those wines tend to be very, very good. They're quality-oriented. If you want to do something fun and do something different, a lot of times when you're paying money for Chardonnay and you're paying money for Cabernet, you can use Sauvignon Blancs, you can use Viogniers, you can use Malbecs, and you can get away with that being a little less expensive because they're a little off the beaten path. So, Sarah, I wasn't really sure what you're asking, but I hope I answered your question, because we have to take a quick break right now. But when we return, I promise we will continue with your phone calls and your emails here on The Crush.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
With so many wine choices, it can be difficult to know what type of wine to buy. Lot 18 is a convenient and affordable new way to sample great wines. Each product is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer. This allows us to offer wine shipped to you at low prices.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/TheWineCrush. That's Lot18.com/TheWineCrush.
I'm sitting at midcourt, and the last time around, the wave took out half of my Coke. And it's coming again. We, the fans, must stop this wave and protect our Coke. It's still coming. Cheerleaders, fire the t-shirt guns. Buzzer guy, distract them with buzzing. Wolf, howl. Hold on! Looks like we did it. Nice job, everybody.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Are you feeling the credit card crunch? Increasing prices and the cost of credit are stretching budgets and preventing people just like you from getting ahead or just catching up with their debts. American Financial Solutions is a nonprofit organization that can help you get back on track with your debts and strengthen your financial situation. We offer a customized debt management plan, not a consolidation loan or a settlement, but a renegotiation of terms with your current creditors. You could benefit from lower interest rates, reduced fees, finally having your past due accounts brought back into current status, and a single monthly payment. So if you're falling behind on your credit cards, medical bills, or accounts and collections, get your current statements together and give American Financial Solutions a call now.
Here's the number for your free debt analysis. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. 800-430-8804. Not all services available in all states. Terms and conditions apply.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious.
And so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes.
And soon you realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be.
Grades, make more friends and express their individuality.
When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. We're playing catch-up here on The Crush today by taking your calls and emails. And I've asked a number of questions during the show, whether it's your opinion on sweet wine, if California should do more, or whether or not we are too stringent in judging people who drink sweet wine. Call us 877-4-CRUSH-1, or you can email me directly at winecrush.com. But it's always interesting. Anytime you get on the subject of wine, there are a lot of topics that are standout. You know, sweet versus dry is always a good one. And, of course, cheap versus expensive. But then the other category of topics that always infiltrate the wine conversation, the wine world, are wine laws and how it's regulated and how people look over your shoulder when it comes to wine. Two very interesting stories that are coming out in the wine world right now. They are cracking down in wine country, specifically in the Pacific Northwest, with underage drinkers. And there's an article that recently came out about 8 Walla Walla wineries that were cited for serving minors. Now, I'm not really sure my opinion on this. Obviously, I've seen some things going out through California, especially out in Napa, where you have busloads of girls on bachelor parties or sorority trips that are pulling up to wineries and pulling kegs out and are just being ridiculous. And I understand wanting to cut those people off and saying absolutely not and carding everybody in that group. But I also had a really good set of friends that were going out to California, and their children have been brought up abroad. Children have been raised around wine. They had gone to boarding schools. They definitely had the privileged life. And I will swear that their kids, who are 20 and 19, know more about wine than 90% of the people I encounter. And they came back from wine country, and they complained about the fact that their children couldn't necessarily go out there and taste wine. So it becomes interesting when you start looking at the states cracking down on wineries. 21 is 21, absolutely, irregardless. I get that. But if you're with your parents and you obviously are displaying a wine background, should these kids be allowed to taste wine? What do you think, Kent?
I think it depends on the age. But I think in most cases, sure, why not? I mean, in other cultures, it's fairly common.
Well, you think about it. We're not talking 14, 15, 16-year-old kids that are running around here.
No.
I mean, these are obviously responsible adults. Chances are these kids go out and drink anyway. I mean, I'm not saying that their parents are horrible by any stretch. We're not talking about stealing vodka off the bat bar. I knew I grew up drinking wine starting about 8 o'clock. I mean, 8 o'clock.
And that would be 8 a.m.
That would be 8 a.m. No, that wasn't a Freudian slip. About 8 years old, you know, we'd sit down for the dinner table, whether it was Easter or Christmas, and have watered-down wine. And I don't know. I honestly, I guess maybe if it's a whole bunch of 20-somethings bar hopping through wine country, then yes, absolutely they should be cited, and yes, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, if you've got two responsible parents, if you've got kids that are just going out there on vacation, I think they should be allowed to taste.
Well, and I think because they didn't turn it into forbidden fruit when I was younger, then that tempered my desire for it. I think if you make it forbidden fruit for people, they're just going to want to go out on a binge somewhere.
You probably drank more before you were 21 than you have since.
Probably so.
Absolutely.
I mean, really.
So,
you mentioned Blue Nun a while ago, and I got nostalgic. I haven't had Blue Nun in years, but I had some back then.
We might have to try, and we'll have to rectify that for you. But actually, for our listeners and for those of you in the business and those of you in the industry, I'd really like to know what you think about this. 877-4CRUSH-1 or email me, lauralawson@winecrush.com. And yes, all of you who are in law enforcement that are sitting out there saying 21 is 21 for a reason, I do know what your stance is going to be. But ultimately, when you're looking at it from a learning perspective, whether it's from Kent's perspective and you say it's going to be about, you know, the forbidden fruit, or whether it's from an education perspective that this is what it tastes like, this is what you can appreciate, it's not like everyone is sitting down and guzzling a bottle of wine at each stop. No. It is a taste. So I really don't know how we want to get into
that. In my day, it was, if I'm old enough to put on a uniform and go to Vietnam, I'm old enough to have a glass of wine or a beer before I go.
I still have great respect for that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. I know for a fact, I have read the recent studies on this, that when you look at our country in the incidence of DUI and alcohol infractions, that based on the fact that we have a drinking age of 21, we are the number one percentile of having problems for those countries that do have a drinking age. Mm-hmm. When you look at other countries that don't regulate it, that don't have a drinking age, they don't have near the problem that we do. But we have enough enemies without getting off on that tangent right now.
Yeah, we're still at odds with the French here. So
yes, we are still. Yeah, even though the embassy has been quiet lately, they still don't like us. All right, Ken, is there another brave soul by chance?
We do.
On the
we, have, we have Joanna in California.
Hi, this is Joanna. And the question is, what is the difference between Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio?
Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio. Boy, a lot of people can have a lot of fun with this. Pinot Gris and Pinot Grigio essentially are the same grape. And I'm just waiting for Kent to see the board light up with people wanting to argue this time and time again. Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, you generally find Pinot Grigio coming out of Italy. You find Pinot Gris coming out of Alsace. You find it coming out of Oregon. Different style. When you look at the grape, when you look at the structure, when you look at the clonal dignitary between the two, they are the same. You know, there's really not that much difference to them. They both have kind of a lightly pink outer covering. It's always fun. They always say they're white grapes, but actually when you look at them on the vine, they do tend to have a little strawberry color to them. So they are very, very unique. They're also very susceptible to cloning and mutation. But no, Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio are the same. Pinot Grigio is usually done in that very, very light style. You can find it most from Italy, Bellini, Piggin, Capisaldo, great examples of it. California does Pinot Grigio, whether it's Sterling, whether it is Delicato, whether it is Sutter Home. Pinot Gris tend to have the more minerality. They tend to have more of a, I never want to use the gasoline word, but they tend to have more of that carbon influence flavor to them that just make them so deep and so intricate. So Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio, go ahead, start the argument now. We're up for it. We're going to take a quick break here on The Crush, but when we return, of course, more of your input on what we need to talk about.
The Wine Crush, presented by Lot18.com.
Sometimes shopping for wine can be intimidating. What if you could have your own team of wine experts to help you discover new wines and great values? Lot 18 members have access to some of the finest wines from around the world, and each selection is sourced by Lot 18 experts directly with the producer.
Start your own wine adventure with Lot18.com today. Register now for free at Lot 18 and receive $10 off your first order. Visit Lot18.com/The Wine Crush. That's Lot18.com/The Wine Crush.
Convenient? You could say that.
Lots of branches, lots of ATMs, online, on your phone. When it comes to ways to bank, Bank of America's got it covered.
With so many ATMs, I can do my banking anytime, anywhere. There's one right by work.
I've got a Bank of America near my gym.
There's one near my home, near where the kids play soccer.
I like to do my banking online. Pay my bills, set up alerts. It's fast, secure.
I'm more of a mobile person. With Bank of America's mobile app, I can use my smartphone to transfer funds, check my balances, right here in the grandstands during a yellow flag.
Bank whenever, wherever, however you want. With Bank of America, the official bank of NASCAR. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com.
Requires enrolling in online banking. Carrier fees may apply. Online bill pays and optional service alerts not available in Idaho or Washington. Bank of America NA, member FDIC, copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation. NASCAR is a registered trademark of the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, Inc., copyright 2011, HGJ Licensing, LLC.
Designer and car builder Carol Shelby knows cars.
I have a passion for cars.
Carol Shelby recommends Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
This stuff really works. It penetrates the metal.
Add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It cleans internal components, delivers a cleaner fuel system, extends engine life, and improves engine performance.
Z-Max is going to give it a longer life and improve the performance.
Z-Max, available at auto parts stores and at zmax.com.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Hi-yah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi! Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! Small cars. It can even chop through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. Today we have touched base on a lot of different topics across the wine world. But in our latest segment, we were kind of discussing the idea about wine laws. And before we wrap up the show, there's just something we have to touch on. Everyone needs to pay attention on May 13th, because a Vancouver man is protesting a Prohibition-era law that makes it illegal to transport alcohol between provinces. The man says, Terry David Mulligan, he's a broadcaster and character actor. I'm going to do it on Friday the 13th at high noon at the BC-Alberta border. I'm going to have a nice wooden case of wine that I'm going to walk across the border transparently. Bottom line is, according to federal prohibition legislation first passed in 1928 to curb domestic bootlegging, it is illegal to carry alcohol between provinces. So this law that's been on the books since 28, this actor is going to carry a case of wine across the border. Now, once again, it goes back to what we talk about when we think about wine. There's certain aspects of wine that are always going to bring up argument and discussion, and the legalities are definitely one of them. But it'll be interesting to see if this hits national news and what comes of it. I know that if any of us tried to do it, we'd just wind up arrested flat out, and that would be the end of it. So keep that in mind as we discuss wine, as we play with it and try and find topics for shows, and you take your calls and your emails. There's so many different diverse ways to look at things. Always remember, wine is never boring. That's why we enjoy it so much. Well, here at The Crush, as always, we're reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.